have to be joining together to really be focusing on those that are already started back to school and the new adventure of this year that is. I want to remind you guys of a couple of things. One, this evening, we're also going to have our back-to-school bash, since we get to celebrate and bless our students and everyone this morning. This afternoon, evening, will be at the City Park, at the small pavilion by the Rec Center, from 5 to 7 p.m. We're going to have hamburgers, chips, desserts, drinks, all that stuff. Everything is provided. Last week, I asked you guys to bring stuff. Nope, we changed that up. You guys just got to show up and eat. That's all you have to do. Two things that we ask you to bring is bring a chair if you want to have a place to sit comfortably at least. And then also, if you have any outdoor games that you want to bring to share with us while we're there, we'd love for you to be there. I don't have a lot of control over it, but it's going to be hot, so make sure you're prepared for that as well. But we know that it's going to be a great time we have to celebrate together. So if you can join us this evening from 5 to 7, we'd love for you to be there. We'll try to start serving the food around 5:30 this evening. Also, I just want to kind of throw this out there. If you haven't been going onto the church website or the Texans for Christ website or the youth group website, I encourage you to go and check those out. Lots of information that we have on there to keep everybody up to date with some things that are going on. If you are a 7th through 12th grader, or if you're the parent of a 7th through 12th grader, I really encourage you to go to grahamstreetyouth.org. There's a lot of new information that's on there right now, some important things even for you to fill out. One of the things is just our information form for this school year. So if you get a chance, check that out so that you can go in and get that filled out so we have all of our current info that we need. Also want to remind everybody that in 2 weeks, on Sunday, September 13th, we will be starting our Sunday 5 p.m. Bible classes. We'll have our adult class that meets here in the auditorium, a family class that's geared towards our children's ministry and their parents over in the family center, and then back in room 109, we'll have our youth group class for grades 7 through 12. So something that's exciting coming up here in just a couple of weeks. If you have more questions about that, come and see myself. Come and see David. We'll get you clued in as best we can on the events that are going to be going on then. This morning, as we have the opportunity to be together, let's pray, and then we'll also get to spend this morning praying for our students and teachers as well. So let's open up our worship now in prayer. Father, what a blessing it is to be here today. Father, I feel you here in this place. I know that you're here with us. Father, we're grateful that we have this opportunity to reflect on this coming school year and the things that so many people are having to struggle through, but also, Father, that we're getting to take some steps back to things that seem more familiar to us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to pray over all of our students, all of our families, all of our teachers. Father, we know that you are a God who's in control. Father, we ask that in our lives we can better remember that, we can better understand that, so that the things we do can glorify you. Watch over us this morning, Lord, as we open up our hearts to you in worship. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Now, I realize that the skies above us aren't gray, but I think that there's probably a lot of parents rejoicing and singing and being happy because school's back in session. So this morning, if you'll raise your voices together with us, and I think kids are glad to be back in school too. Are you kids back? Are you happy to be back in school? You like it? Okay. Bruce, we got a slide? There we go. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me, I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, as you're looking at these slides on this song, This Little Light of Mine, for some reason, Paperless Hymnal or whichever service did these, they did not do the verse three times through. They only did it through twice before the chorus portion. So the lines that you see here will sing actually three times, and then it'll switch to the next slide instead of just two. I don't know whether that makes sense or not, but I think you've probably sung this song enough times, you'll figure it out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine, oh yeah. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine. I won't let Satan it out, I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine all the time. Let it shine, shine all over Stephenville. I'm gonna let it shine, oh, shine all over Stephenville. I'm gonna let it shine, shine all over Stephenville. I'm gonna let it shine all the time. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes.
Just to kind of give everyone an idea of what we're going to do, I'm going to get to spend some time this morning talking about and blessing and challenging and offering a charge to all those in our youth and family ministry, which is basically our birth through high school. And then we'll have a song play here in a moment. And then after that, Taylor will come up and get to do the same with the campus ministry. And then we'll have another song play. And then David will come up and get to do that one more time for all of our parents and teachers and so forth as well. See if we can't get in here. All right, so here's our back-to-school blessing for our children's and our youth ministry. So this includes everybody from kinder care to our children's ministry, the elementary age, up into our junior high school and to our high schoolers as we get ready to go, as we already are, I guess, going into this new school year. I was kind of challenged myself to figure out what exactly do I want to do. I kept thinking, I've got to find some new and amazing scripture that nobody's heard that often that's just going to blow us away for us to say, this is how we need to bless our children going into this school year. But the more and more I did that, I felt like God kept saying, keep it simple, Wes, keep it simple. So this is where we're going to start out with, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, that may not sound like something you recognize at first, but when you start to hear it, you'll kind of understand where I'm coming from. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And I think that truly is our prayer each and every day for our children, that we want them to find that path. And it's difficult because as you've got those little ones, kind of where I'm at right now, where you still got those little ones, but when they start to grow and get to that point where they're making their own decisions, they're starting to understand their own faith. This is a huge verse, I think, for parents to see in that. But I want our students to know that this is a huge verse for you in what we see and what we understand and what God wants us to do. Now, I couldn't think of any better way to offer a blessing for our children than for me to read a story. So this morning, if you haven't read it before, we're going to read The Tale of the Three Trees. This was my favorite story as a kid, and everyone, when you go back to school tomorrow, you can say, I read an entire book over the weekend. And here's the best part, there's pictures. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds above him. I want to hold treasure, he said. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. The second little tree looked out at the small stream trickling by on its way to the ocean. I want to be a strong sailing ship, he said. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world. The third little tree looked down to the valley below where busy men and busy women worked in a busy town. I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all, she said. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world. Years passed, the rains came, the sun shone, and the little trees grew tall. And one day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, "This tree is beautiful. It is perfect for me. With the sweep of his shining axe, the first tree fell. "Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest," thought the first tree. "I shall hold wonderful treasures." The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, "This tree is strong. It is perfect for me." With the sweep of his shining axe, the second tree fell. "Now I shall sail mighty waters," thought the second tree. "I shall be a strong ship fit for kings." The third tree felt her heart sink when the last woodcutter looked at her. She stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven, but the woodcutter never even looked up. "Any kind of tree will do for me," he muttered. And with a swoop of his shining axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to a carpenter's shop, but the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests that day. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasure. He was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were being made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat. Too small, too weak to sail an ocean or even a river, he was taken to a little lake, and every day he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumberyard. "What happened?" the once tall tree wondered. "All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point to God." Many days and many nights passed. The trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one golden night, starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. "I wish I could make a cradle for him," her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. "This manger is beautiful," she said. And suddenly, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon a thundering and thrashing storm arose, and the little tree shuddered. He did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and rain. But the tired man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand, and said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it had begun, and suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the king of heaven and earth. One morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched as she was carried through an angry, jeering crowd, and she shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. And that was better than being the tallest tree in the world. Our plans don't always go as we anticipate. I don't think 5.5, almost 6 months ago now, that anybody thought we would be in the situation that we are now. And I know for our families, for our students, this isn't what we planned. But the next time you feel down because things don't go as you planned, sit tight, don't worry, because God is planning something better for you. And that's what I want you guys to hear in this blessing. That no matter what you have planned, God's plan is better. So for all our kindergarten, elementary, junior high, and high school students, we love you, and we're deeply praying for you to have a blessed year. I want to finish with a charge, a challenge to our students. So moms and dads, that means you got to kind of help a little bit with that too. And I have a story that I want to share with you on this. There was a farmer who sold a pound of butter to a baker nearly every day. One day, the baker decided to weigh the butter to see if he was getting the right amount. Upon weighing the butter, he discovered he was not getting the right amount. Angry about this, the baker took the farmer to court. The judge asked the farmer if he was using any type of measuring device to weigh the butter. The farmer replied, "Your Honor, I am simple and modest. I don't have a proper measuring device, just an old balance scale." The judge asked, "Then how do you weigh the butter?" And the farmer replied, "Your Honor, long before the baker started buying butter from me, I have been buying a 1 pound loaf of bread from him nearly every day. And each day when the baker brings the bread, I put it on the scale and give him the same weight in butter. I read that story and it kind of just made me stop. And it reminds me that we've been given opportunity. We've been given opportunity to do something in our lives. And that's my charge, that's my challenge to our students this year. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured onto your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. We've been given an opportunity, but it starts with you. Don't wait for everyone else to make that first move to say, I'm going to do something great. I want our students, I want our families to be the first ones to say, it's going to start with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4 has a verse that we're very familiar with when talking about young people. But I think we always stop at the first part of the verse and don't read it all the way through. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. But be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Students, it starts with you. It starts with you. You can set an example for all of these believers here even. So this school year, as you go out, we love you, we're praying for you, but we also put our trust in you to say, it starts with you. Let's pray together. Father, what a great day it is. And Father, I thank you for all of our students. From our youngest ones, for those that are beginning time in kinder care, for those that are traveling into the elementary schools. Father, those that are progressing into junior high and making that huge step into high school even. Father, we ask your blessing, your grace, your mercy be showered upon them this school year. What an awesome God you are. Father, help us to know that if we put our trust in you, that you will provide. Bless our students. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people.
Surround us, Lord. Surround. Good morning. So I see we have a couple of college students here with us at the 9 o'clock service. I know when I was a college student, I tried to sleep in as much as I could, so I commend the couple of you that are here for the early service. So in 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul writes to a young Timothy, and in these letters he, I think, recognizes that life for a young person can be difficult when they're striving to follow that path that God has set out for them. And I think today is no different. You know, I think college life is full of temptations, full of new challenges. How can college students, how can they stay strong in their faith during these years? Well, there's a couple of things, a couple of lines of wisdom that Paul shared with Timothy that I think apply really good to the college life and to our college students that I wanted to share this morning. So the first one is 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And like I said, I think there's a couple of lines of wisdom here for our college students this morning. First of all, he tells us to continue to pursue God. He says, within these two lines, he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, peace, endurance, and gentleness. And it reminds me of what is written in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, which says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I think the first piece of wisdom is for our college students, continue to pursue God, continue to pursue your relationship with Him. Don't be idle during these years, but continue to grow and mature. Second thing that I think Paul wants Timothy to know that I think is also fitting for our students is to understand that there's a battle. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Fight the good fight." So we have to understand that every day is going to be a battle, that it's not always going to be easy, and that we have to be prepared at all times for any attacks that Satan is going to be planning. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And I think that's what we have to do. We have to continue to prepare. And so as we do pursue our relationship with God, as you continue to do that throughout your time in college, you do so knowing that you're going to be prepared for all times. And then finally, I think one of the most important things that Paul says here, he encourages us to band with a group of believers. I think living in community with others who are trying to live a holy life as well, whether that's other college students, whether that's this church family here at Graham Street, that only puts the numbers in our favor. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." If we're trying to live a holy life in college, if we're trying to continue to strive to follow that path that God set out, the only way that we can do that is whenever we're living in community with other people who are trying to do the same thing. So I want to encourage you that as you're starting out here at college or as you continue in your education, continue to look for friends that that share the same goals as you, that have that goal of living the life that God has set for you. And look to, be involved in a church family, whether it's, here, whether it's, being a part of the college ministry. Continue to have that community that can encourage you. Our college students, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that as you go through the battles of this semester, this congregation here, the college ministry over on campus, and so many more people are going to be praying for you. We're going to celebrate with you during the highs. We're going to be encouraging and praying for you during the lows. And above all, I think I want you to know that God is going to be with you, and that he's going to give you everything that you need as you continue to fight the good fight of faith. I want to ask the congregation if you'll pray with me as we pray over our college students for this semester. God, we're so thankful to get to bless our college students this morning, to get to bless all students and teachers and faculty and everyone involved. And God, we want to lift up our students this morning, and we want to ask that you will be with them. We have several that are doing this for the very first time as freshmen and are experiencing all kinds of new challenges, are trying to move forward in this life stage in a time that is different than anything we've ever faced with the pandemic that is going on. And God, we just ask that you will be with them, that you will encourage them to continue to pursue you, to continue to strive to grow in their faith and in godliness. God, I pray that as they continue in their relationship with you, that you will equip them and give them everything that they need to live the life you've called them to. And God, if there's any encouragement that we can give them, if there's any support, if there's any love, if there's anything that we can do for them as a congregation, as individuals, I pray that you will give us that opportunity, and that they will trust us to support them and encourage them. God, I pray that everyone here will continue to look for ways that they can do that, and lift up our college students as they go through this semester and as they spend the next few years here at Tarleton. God, we're so thankful for this church family. We're so thankful for all the ways in which you work in our lives. We're thankful for all the good things you're doing here in this community, all the good things you're doing on the Tarleton campus. And we ask that you'll continue to move, Lord. Thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil.
Good morning, church. Oh, that was weak. That was really weak. Let's try that again. Good morning, church. All right, it's good to see everybody this morning. You hear these kids? You do, don't you? You hear the kids? They're our responsibility. We're responsible for them. Whether we're parents, whether we're grandparents, whether we're just adult members in this congregation without an attachment to a specific child in this room, if we're a teacher, if we're an administrator, if we're a coach, we're responsible for the kids. That's our job. And we need to take it seriously. I want to show you something that you're familiar with. This is basically what we base our church mission on. This is what we base our vision for the future on. We have this logo of this tree, and we have these three words: rooted, growing, and reaching. And that means something to us because we understand that if we're going to be the church that we need to be, we have to have that solid foundation, well rooted, like a tree. A tree will only be as healthy as its root system is. At my house, I have some trees that are dead. Live oaks. My understanding of the problem, this oak wilt, is a toxic virus that gets into the root system and it kills the whole tree. And it's a sad thing, really. You know, one time they were beautiful, vibrant trees, and now they're dead. And it didn't happen all at once. You know, you begin to see some leaves turn brown on them, and then you begin to realize that the branches are dying, and before you know it, the whole thing is dead. And that happens in churches. When the root system is not what it needs to be, the whole church dies. It doesn't accomplish what it needs to accomplish. And while the other three parts to this are so important, a tree is not healthy if the growing part of the tree that you see above the surface of the ground is not healthy, then the whole tree, of course, is not healthy. If it's not reaching out with its limbs, if it's not growing seeds that will produce and so forth, if it's not bearing fruit, we can say it's not healthy. But where its greatest danger is where you don't see that it's not healthy, is underground in the root system. That's why the foundation is so important in the church and in our society. Our society is weakened not only because of what we see, but what we don't see. And that foundation of our society is, to a large extent, in the education system of our children. And it begins in our homes. It begins in our churches. Before we start blaming our schools for a poor foundation for our children, we have to look seriously at what's happening in our families and see why it may be the problem. There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. It says, "And he gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." It goes on and talks about maturity, that we'll become mature in Christ, that we will represent the fullness of Christ, to where we'll be able to build up the body in love as each person does his or her part. For the church to be healthy, we have to have this solid, grounded foundation. Our roots have to run deep and strong if we're going to be what we need to be as a church. And if the world we live in is going to be strong and productive, we have to have a root system that runs deep and strong. And it begins in our families. It begins in our churches. And then in our school system. You know, back before I made the big bucks that I'm making here at Graham Street, I occasionally had to supplement my salary as a minister by teaching in the public school. And I have to tell you, it's some of the hardest work I've ever done. It's not easy being a teacher. I sympathize with you teachers, and I can't imagine what it must be like teaching now. When we were planning this special day of praying for, you know, our students, and I was working with Wes and with Taylor on what are we going to do? What kind of service are we going to put together? And about that time, the school system, and I kind of get an insider's tip on this, you know, from my wife who's in the school system. And she's saying, you know, they're really struggling with whether we're going to be able to start when we say where we're going to start. So we were getting ready to have a service before we started, you know, and have this big prayer time. And I'm hearing, you know, we may not start on time. So we're thinking, okay, well, maybe we need to get ready to push it back because school may not start when we think it's going to start. And sure enough, we went back another week, and they were saying, okay, you know, all these schools in Dallas and San Antonio and Houston, you know, they're not only having to start later, but they're saying for the first 6 weeks or the first 8 weeks, they're going to go virtual, not in the classroom. And we're saying, you know, is that going to happen in Stephenville? What's going to happen? And finally, we decided, you know, we got to quit worrying about when it's going to start and how it's going to start. We just need to pick a date and do the best we can, because God knows when they started. And whenever we have this program, we're going to pray and God's going to answer our prayer. And so that's today. Now, fortunately, we were able to start before. But it may seem kind of strange that we're praying for the beginning of the school year after the school year's actually started. Well, when we started planning this, we didn't know. And we said, let's just do it. Let's just set a date. To some extent, that's how we're operating now. To some extent, we have to know that we can't know everything. And we just have to look at our foundation. We have to look at our core. We have to look at our roots. We have to go back to that, and we have to say, regardless of what happens, we know this is true. This is the bedrock of what we believe in. This is what we based it on. And let's put our footing there and let's move forward and do the best we can and pray for God to bless us in it. One of the fortunate things that I've had in this experience is to get to know Taylor and Wes better. You know, really, if we had had the summer that we would normally have, I probably would have not had much time with Wes. You know, the summertime for youth ministers is crazy. You know, they're out doing all these activities with the young people, you know. I mean, us preacher types, you know, we get a little jealous of the youth ministers in the summer because we look at what they're doing and we went, man, I would like to be out there doing those kind of things. You know, I want to go to camp, you know. I want to go canoeing on the river, you know. I want to go do this mission trip, you know, and all that sort of thing. They usually get to do all those things, and this summer, Wes didn't get to do it. Instead, to a large extent, he was stuck having to deal with me and trying to do the best he can to stay in touch with the young people and just keep encouraging them and letting them know that he's there for them and he's praying for them and that they can meet online and they can study the Bible together and they can pray together. And when they do get together, yeah, they're going to have to wear some masks and they're going to have to be social distanced and all that sort of thing. But let them know that he's there for them. And Taylor, it was the same thing. You know, he's trying to get ready for the students coming back in and they don't even know if they're going to be able to come back in. And he's trying to make plans, but he's trying to make alternate plans and alternate plans to the alternate plans. And one of the blessings that I've had is to get to spend time with two wonderful young ministers that have at the heart of what they're about is the people that they serve. And one thing I've become confident in, no matter what ministries we're able to do, no matter what we're engaged in, I've come to be confident in this, that whether it's a student in our schools or whether it's a student in our university, There are two ministers here that those students can rely on, that they can contact at any time. And Wes and Taylor will be ready to try to talk with them and to help them through whatever they're dealing with. And that would have not happened on that level had this not been our experience this year. I am more confident than ever before in the ministers that we have. And you know why? Because of their foundation, because of their root system. Coaching is something that I probably would want to do if I were not preaching. Every time I've got the chance to do it, I loved it. But fundamental to coaching is some things that you've got to go back to every time. One of the things that you coach and you coach and you coach is you tell your athletes, you have got to stay in your position. Probably something we should be praying about. You've got to stay in your position. I was just talking about this with Sterling yesterday. You know, the reason why someone gets loose and runs for a 70-yard touchdown is because somebody didn't stay, what we say in football, at home. They didn't stay in position. The coaching of that is hard because these enthusiastic athletic guys, you know, they're going to run to the ball and they're going to tackle the guy. That's what they're made for. That's what they're excited about doing. And it's hard to get them to remember that if you leave your position, you break containment and that guy's going to get away. You've got to stay at home. You've got to let the other guys worry about trying to do that running in there after the ball, because if he gets past them, there's nobody to stop them. That's foundational. That's at the roots of teaching the sport. At the foundation of everything we do, there are parents and teachers, administrators, people that have to teach our kids at the core, at the foundation, at the roots. This is where you need to be. This is where you need to stay. You need to stay in close connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to learn the basics and learn to love to learn. So when I pray here in a moment, that's what I'm praying about when I pray for our foundation. And brothers and sisters, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a coach, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a parent, or whether you're just an adult member of this congregation, you are responsible. Laying that foundation is as much your responsibility as anybody else. You're not exempt. You have a responsibility for every one of these voices that you hear in this auditorium this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is a big responsibility. This is a responsibility that we're ready to give to somebody else, to let somebody else take. Because we don't want to have to feel like that when all is said and done, that it's partly our fault if a child goes astray. If a child ends up in a bad place, if a child does not receive the education that they need to have, if they lose their soul, that it's my responsibility. We all want to blame somebody else. We all want to say, well, it's that person's fault because they didn't do their job. It was a bad teacher, or it was a bad preacher, or a bad coach. We want to blame somebody else. But Father, I asked this morning that you would help every one of us, every one of us, face the responsibility that these children are a sacred trust that you have given to us, every one of us. And every one of us, in some way or another, have a responsibility of giving the encouragement, of giving the the desire, the will to do what's right. I pray for the foundation, for the root system, for what it is that makes us strong. I pray for every teacher, every administrator, every person who works at the schools right now, whether it's in mopping floors or working in the kitchen, or whether it's driving those buses, I pray for every one of them to realize that they are essential, they are core, that the future, the very essence of who we are as a people in the future depends on them. But I pray even more strongly for our parents as they set that foundation, that core in their lives before they even leave the door to go to school. And I pray for every member of this church that we will realize that it is our job to give the encouragement and the support for this whole system, that it'll be what it needs to be for the future generations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to take communion. It's a very sacred and special time for us. We remember the body and the blood of Jesus, that in Him we have our salvation. That's our foundation. That's what we're about. That we have nothing. We have no reason to be here if it were not for what Jesus did for us at the cross. And we remember that when we take the communion this morning. Don't forget what it's about.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
Let's pray. Father, as we prepare to honor you and your Son for the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made, help us to make this a personal thing in our lives so that we will always understand our Lord's suffering. And we pray, Father, that as we partake of this bread that you've implemented for your Son's body, we ask, Father, that you would help us to be at peace, knowing that his sacrifice was made for us. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Pray with me again, please. Father, we know that our Savior's blood was the cleansing part of all of our sins. We pray, Father, that you would help us to remember that as we partake of the cup that represents that blood that gives us our hope of eternity with you and cleanses us from our sins. It's our prayer to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Prepare me.
I want to thank everybody for being here today. Visitors, thank you for being here. Some of you, if you're a new visitor here, you recognize we don't have cards on the back of the pews. That was part of our keeping things separate. So help us to meet you and get some contact information from you so that we can reach out, you know, to follow up with your visit here. And if you have an opportunity to be back, please do that. Wes, Taylor, David, thank you. It's my hope that everybody was blessed, understanding that not only from our students, grades, you know, pre-K all the way up through college, and all the people here, parents and adults, have a role. That's just how it works. Appreciate the reminders. Thank you for that. Continue to remember this group, big group, as in your prayers as you go through the week and through the semester. I want to do, visitors, take a pause. I need to do a little bit of a public service announcement to the members. First off, thank y'all for being here. We are seeing attendance continue to grow. We had probably the largest group we had last Sunday, so thank you for that. Financially, I want to thank y'all for the support you're doing. We understand there are people that have lost jobs. We understand there's businesses that have lost revenues based on sales and services, but thank you for continuing to support the work here. We will continue to try to get better information out to y'all about our financial situation. Overall, compared to other churches, we're doing really well. There are churches that have had much more significant impacts from the financial things going on than what we have. We owe y'all a better budget. We got caught up with the virus stuff and did not get our budget out in front of y'all. We have found a small error in the budget as far as terms of what the target ought to be weekly. We have some four things to clean up, so I'm not going to try to say it's going to go down to this amount. We believe it will go down, but we got some more data analytics to work through to make sure we have that figured out. But we continue to pray that you support us. Big picture, our expenses are below what we had projected them to be. There's a few things that we've had to do extra, but we overall have continued to save money in a lot of the various areas, whether it's not going to camp, whether it's not taking a retreat, or whatever those things may be. That's been good. So anyway, thank you for your support. We will get you some more information on that. If you have any questions, I'm the elder advisor over finance administration. Please see me. I think most of y'all know who some of the finance deacons are. See them. Contact with the elders, but make sure that I get that information back, so we will do that. Anyway, thank you for your support. There's lots of things we can be doing with this. Let's go to our God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings you give us, and thank you for the opportunities that you put in for us to serve you. Thank you for our kids. Bless them as they're in school, getting ready for school. Bless them as they interact daily with a group of other students and teachers and administrators and coaches. Help them to be a light to everyone, those around them. Help our campus group to learn how to do college education in a different way. Please be with them as they interact with a large group of people and have new professors that they may have not ever had to deal with before, but help them to understand the work that you have for them to do and the opportunities there for us them to serve. Dear and Father, help every one of us, the rest of us, whether we're in a teaching position, a administrator position, a staff position, or whatever those might be in the public schools or university, please be with you to serve the students there. Dear and Father, help us as the congregation here to support each of these groups. We have so much to do, whether it's at home or here at church or in other locations, but help us to reach out and to serve the students and education systems wherever we may be. Lots of other groups that we need to pray for, whether that's our police and medical emergency support people, whether that's our doctors and nurses that work at the hospitals and other clinics. Help us to support all these people and the things that are going on. Help us to be able to recognize the things we need to do and help us to serve. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you do for us. Bless those of our number who are fighting various illnesses. It's good to see Peggy Glover here today. Thank you for that. Hopefully she's hearing the prayers that are being lifted up for her. Dear Father, please help us to remember all those others in our prayer, whether they're in assisted living or wherever that might be, to help support them. Thank you as we go through the next week. Support us and bless us and help us to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll have another announcement here.
Thank you again for being here with us this morning. As we get ready to dismiss, we'll have our ushers that will come out. If you'll wait until they dismiss your row again so you can head out. If you didn't get a chance to give this morning, the offering baskets are there next to the doors as you exit, if you're willing and able to do that. I want to send you guys off with this charge again for everybody from Joshua 1:9. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't forget about this afternoon from 5 to 7 at the City Park if you want to come and be part of our back-to-school bash. Have a great day.
May the presence of the Lord go with you. May the presence of the Lord go
surrounds his people.
presence surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround his people as the mountains surround.